Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Din and Daf. I'm Alana Steinhain. This week, we are going to talk about a concept that comes up on Bava Metzia, Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, and Mem Gimel Amud Bet, among other places, which is the notion of borrowing without permission. She'ela shelo midat. This actually came up for me this past week when I was trying to decide which concept I wanted to teach about this week. I was confronted with a scenario in which I was about to be shoelet shelo midat. I was about to use something without someone's permission. And I said, oh, look at that. Shoelet shelo midat. So masim shebechol yom, these things happen all the time. What's interesting is the Gemara has a machloket over whether shoel shelo midat, or I'm going to conjugate it as though I were talking about myself, shoelet shelo midat, one who steal, one who uses without permission, borrows without permission, is like a shoelet or like a gaslanit. Am I considered like a borrower, which already has a high degree of liability if something should happen to it? Obviously, a very high degree of liability. But am I considered like that, or am I considered halachically like a gaslanit, like a thief? Now, what's so interesting about this question is that this question conceptually, forget about practically for a minute, conceptually, what this question is asking is, am I just using something that's still in the domain of its owners, like a shoelet, meaning like the essence of the ba'alut, of the ownership of the item, is not contested? Because after all, I'm going to give it back. I'm just borrowing it. Or is this considered like gzeila in the sense that I've essentially, by using it without permission, removed it from the rishut of its owners, right? I have actually taken it out of their rishut. And even though I plan to give it back, right? And I find that to be a really interesting question because it really goes to the heart of what you're doing when you use somebody else's stuff without permission, right? What you're really doing is you're saying, I don't care about the fact that you own this. And as the owner, you should be the one who decides who gets to use it and how it gets used. I am going to undermine your ownership. And that is reflected by the side of the machloket that calls me a gazlanit, right? As we see interesting hashlachot, we see interesting ramifications to calling a shoelet a gazlan. Very interesting ramifications. And one of those shows up on Mem Gimel Amud Bet. And I'm going to share my screen, right? This is how the machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is explained over a situation in which I was watching over somebody else's barrel, and I decided that I was going to use the barrel, like move it somewhere so that I could use it to stand on it to retrieve some baby chicks. And at some point, it was something happened to it, right? Maybe it broke. And I now have to pay the value to its original owner, who I was watching it for. Now, it could be in this particular scenario that this barrel was worth a certain amount of money at the time when its owners gave it to me to watch, and was worth a different amount of money at the time that it broke. And so, do I pay the lesser amount that it's worth now? Or do I pay the greater amount that it was worth before I decided to use it for my own, climbing purposes? So the Gemara says, Beit Shammai Savri, Beit Shammai think, shoel shelo midat gazlan habe. If you borrow something without permission, you use something without permission, but you are a gazlan, you are a thief, which means, v'chi chasar, if the item becomes devalued, pirshuta didei chasar. It becomes devalued in the hands of the thief, meaning I don't pay the original owner the devaluation that it's worth now, meaning I don't pay them the devalued price that it's worth now. Because when the owner had it in their authority before I moved it, namely, it was worth more, right? It's only become devalued within my domain, right? A ramification of saying that borrowing without someone's permission is as though taking it out of their domain. This is a very direct ramification. But Beit Hillel say, nah, shol shelo midat, shol havi. right? Somebody who maybe it's not the right thing to do, right? It's not the right thing to borrow without permission, but you're still just a shoel, you're still just a shoelet, you're still just a borrower. But chichasar, when the item becomes less valuable, b'rishuta demare chasar, the item became less valuable in the domain of the original owners, meaning it still belonged to the original owners at the time that it broke. And at the time that it broke, it was worth less money. So I only have to pay them the less money that it's worth because it was in their domain the whole time. So that's an interesting hashlacha. It's an interesting, practical ramification of that conceptual distinction between a borrower who essentially the item is still considered in the domain of the owners versus a thief who's taking something out of the domain of the owners. Another practical ramification shows up in Bava Batra, Daf Pei Chet Amud Aleph, commenting and explaining the Gemara, the Mishnah, excuse me, on Pei Zayin Amud Bet. The Mishnah on Pei Zayin Amud Bet tells a story of, gives a scenario of a parent who sent their child to run an errand for them, right? And it goes like this. A parent sent their child to run an errand with them for them. And the Mishnah doesn't say this, but the way the Gemara understands it is the parent sends some sort of receptacle with the kid to, get whatever product that child is going to buy in that receptacle. And on the way home, the receptacle breaks. So let's take a look. So Hashaleach b'no Eitzel chen v'ni, person who sends their child, to a shopkeeper, ufunyon b'yado, and the kid is holding a 2 isar coin, right? It's a coin that's worth 2 isar. Umadad lo b'isar shemen, and the shopkeeper measures out, and the Mishnah doesn't say this, in the receptacle that the child brought with them, an isar's worth of shemen, an isar's worth of oil, v'natan lo et ha'isar, and gives the kid the change, right? So what happens if shavar tatzluchit, the child, again, the Mishnah doesn't say that explicitly, but the child breaks the receptacle after the shopkeeper gives it back to them at any point before getting home to dad. Ve'ibeda ta'isar, and lost or maybe or lost the second isar. So who's chayav? Who's liable for that? So the Mishnah Tanakhama says, chen v'ni chayav, the shopkeeper is liable. What's the shopkeeper liable? Why is the shopkeeper liable is what I mean. Rabbi Yehuda puts there, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, what do you mean? The shopkeeper is exempt. Shalmanach ken shlacho, what do you mean? The parent sent the child to do this. So if the child dropped it, that's what happens. So the Gemara says, what is this machloket between the two of them? Essentially, I would say, why would Tanakh say that the shopkeeper is liable for the kid dropping a receptacle that the kid himself brought in order for the shopkeeper to put the product in? So the Gemara says, all right, let's explain this. So among the explanations, Amar Rava, Rava says, Ani va'arish v'chaburah terminuha, I and, sort of like the mighty lion of the group, we explained what this case is. We explained what this Mishnah, what is this Mishnah scenario exactly? Umanu, and by the way, who's the lion of the group? Rabbi Zeira, okay? So this says, Hachab, what is this situation? Kigon shenetala b'alachim. Here's the scenario. The shopkeeper, when the kid shows up with the receptacle and says, I'll take an isar's worth of shemen, please. The shopkeeper takes the receptacle and says, oh, you know what? This is very useful. Give me a second, kid. Uses the receptacle to measure out product for other people, meaning uses the receptacle for his own needs without the permission of the owner of the receptacle, namely the parent who sent the child, right? And then uses the receptacle, measures out for the kid, gives the kid the shemen, kid drops it on the way home, right? That's what happened. Uveshel shalomitad kemiflagein, their machloket between Tanakamu says the chen v'ni, the shopkeeper, is liable. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no way, the shopkeeper is exempt. They're arguing about she'ela shalomitad. They're arguing about using something, borrowing something without permission, which is what the shopkeeper is understood to have done here by and Rabbi Zeira. Mar Savar Shol Havi. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, okay, the shopkeeper borrowed it. No big deal. Lama said the shopkeeper gave it back. Isn't using it anymore. Gave it back to the kid, and then the kid broke it. That's not an issue. Umar Sabar by shopkeeper by using it without the permission of the dad is a thief, right? Essentially, what the shopkeeper has done is has effectively taken it out of the reshut of the dad, using it and giving it back to a little kid doesn't count as returning it to the dad, right? It doesn't count as v'heishiv hetagzeila asher gazal. It doesn't count for returning it, returning the object that you stole. And so it's as though this object is still in the hands of the shopkeeper when the kid breaks it, right? Pretty remarkable, pretty remarkable. So I think that in itself tells you something about the respect that halacha has for ownership, right? But I think there's like a further probing that we could do, which is, well, what is it about using somebody else's stuff without their permission that makes it so undermining to their ownership? Is it because you're putting the item in a precarious position? Or meaning just in a position where something might happen to it, which is not something that the owner would have done or agreed to? Or is it really more principle than that? Than like, no, it's not because you're putting it in a precarious position. It's simply because ownership means a person gets to decide how their stuff is used, right? So it seems to be that a really good way to test that question, right? To test that philosophical question is to actually look at a case where you borrow something and it's not a situation where damage could come to it by you borrowing it. Okay, so let's take a look. I'm going to read from the Machane Ephraim, Rabbi Ephraim Navon, which I should say I am very partial to that name. Younger son's name, Navon, that's his first name. And the Machane Ephraim, I think he's 17th century. So he's an Achron, and he's talking about a machloket among the Rishonim about this very issue regarding whether you're a gazlan or a gazlanit, even if you borrowed something in a manner or just the usage of it could not cause damage or would not cause damage. Okay. So it goes like this. Katav HaRabashim HaRamban, the Ritva writes the name of the Ramban, Dich Amru Shoa Shalomidat Gazlan Havi, when we say that a person who borrows without permission is a thief, we bemidi da aidi de metal talay, efshar de tishabir. That's talking about a situation where while you're carrying it, it is possible that it will break. Oh, irabonezek, right? Or some damage would happen to it. De'ilubit davar she'yefshar lavo lidei nezek betiltulo, because when it comes to an item that cannot have damage caused to it by moving it. Nobody would call you a gazlan for using that without permission. You didn't do anything, so what's the problem? And I love this because essentially what it's saying is the issue here is that you're putting it in a more precarious position. That's really why you're a gazlan. But if you're using something that it can't cause damage, we're not bothered by that, right? But you skip a couple of lines. It says, but the Tosfot don't agree. Aval midivrei haTosfot nirei k'tzat shechokim al zeh. Seems like they may disagree. Usfirlu, and they hold afilu b'midi de'yefshar lavo lidei kilkul, shol shalom midat gazlan, right? that even in a situation where no damage could come to it, still by borrowing it without permission, you're still considered a Goslin, right? And it shows where the Tosfot are. I'm not so interested in sourcing it right now because right now I'm actually just more interested in the machloket in and of itself. And he then, towards the end, tries to say that the Ritva himself doesn't even necessarily think that the Ramban is right. That even the Ritva himself, it's possible that he thinks that you are a Goslin, even if no damage could come to it. So it says, Gam midivrei haritva, heviyam hanimuke yosef, v'perek hamochar nira. Says, the Nimuke Yosef quotes the Ritva in a different masechet. And he quotes the Ritva. He says, Nira, it seems, da'afilu, bedavar te'ef sharla bolite kilkol ha. Right? He says from his language there, it seems like even the Ritva, who he's quoting, doesn't think that there needs to be a potential for damage in order to be considered a Goslin. You could be a Goslin even if you just using someone's stuff without permission. And then he gives the example of how he knows that, right? But what I find very interesting is the example. You ready? Shekat of Zal, that he says, Kivan damrina de Goslin have, since we say that a person is a Goslin, if they are shoshalami dat, hayanira sha'asr la'adam laniach tefillin shel chaveiro, ol hitatef batalito shalomi dato. It seems like that would mean that even using somebody else's tefillin, or is even wrapping oneself in somebody else's talis, that should also be asr. Because even though it's not going to cause any damage, it's shoshal midat. You're undermining their ownership, right? And by the way, it's fun that I am recording this today. My son put on tefillin for the first time this morning. So we're like really thinking about this, right? Who's using his tefillin? Whose tefillin is he using? All that, right? So it seems like even something like that, where you're just undermining ownership, you're not going to cause any damage, right? So he says, "Aval mori natri rachmano patre," but my teacher, God should, protect. God should protect him. Omer says, "Dibidvar mitzvah," that when it comes to a mitzvah item, shiny, it's different. Dinichalele inish dili avdu mitzvah b'mamone, because a person is happy. For their, or not happy, but they're fine with or happy for somebody else to use their stuff for a mitzvah, right? Ad kan lashon haritva za, right? He says that's what the ritva says, right? Because it makes it sound like even something like talis and tefillin, where you're not going to cause a damage by putting it on, right? Even that we would say no, except that my teacher says, you actually, in that case, somebody would want you to use their stuff. And the fact that we're using the example of tefillin or a talis to say that, no, you're actually allowed to use it, it's not because it's not going to cause damage, but it's because we actually think that the owner would want you to use it, which in some ways gives us an insight into the logic of, what is it that undermines ownership? What undermines ownership is that the owner didn't say they want you to use it. And we don't know that they would want you to use it. It's not because you're damaging it. It's because, as the owner, that is their prerogative, right? So if we have a situation where we can reasonably guess or think that they want you to use it, or maybe I should add that they should want you to use it, which I think is Maybe something to think about and consider. Then maybe it's not a pagam. Maybe it's not undermining their ownership. Now, that said, I always like to find these sort of interesting situations. And it happens that there is a tshuva from the Maharami Rotenberg that talks about a case where somebody did somebody did take somebody's tefillin from shul. Although, to be honest, like, I'm not sure if once you take it out of shul, if maybe we're now moving into a different situation as opposed to using it where it is, right? You're not imperiling it. But that nonetheless, notwithstanding, it's kind of an interesting case. So the Maharami Rotenberg in a tshuva, Siman Tav Shin Kaf Gimel, he says, I'm actually going to skip to where he actually says the issue. He says, "Kvar nesa masa," and a situation happened. Shebachur echad, a young man, lakach tefilot mibeit hakneset, below yediyat habalim, that somebody took tefillin from shul that belonged to somebody else without the owner knowing, vechziram below yediyatam, and returned them without the knowledge of the owner, meaning they never, handed it back to them or said to them, "Look, I'm putting it back on your chair." V'ne'evdu, and they got lost. Umori, and my teacher, chivo l'shalim, right? It required the person to pay, right? Ki amar, because he says, shol shel midat gazlan haveh, somebody who borrows without permission is a gazlan. V'kaima like Rabbi Akiva, and we hold like Rabbi Akiva, who you saw in Bava Metzia, Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, Diba'inan Da'at Balam, that we need the Balam to know when you return the item, right? There, it was talking about livestock. Here, we're talking about tefillin. But either way, it's very interesting that the Maharami Rotenberg doesn't say, "Oh, but because you took the tefillin and it's not something that causes damage, it's not like you took it out of his reshut," or because people would be very happy with someone doing a mitzvah with their stuff, it's like you didn't take it out of the reshut. Nope. Actually, it's still like you took it out of the reshut. Now, again, it might be the fact that you took it out of the shul that may be the problem. And if you had just sat there and used it there in even another room of the shul or something, maybe it would have been different. But it also just might be that ownership is ownership is ownership. And maybe even people want you to do a mitzvah with your stuff, they don't want you to bring it somewhere else where it might get lost. Right? I feel like ending this shiur by being like, "Hear that, everybody? Nobody take my kids' tefillin." But we're not going to do that. Okay, so let's do a quick recap. The quick recap is shosh lemidat is a weird category, a great category. It's a weird category because it's not borrowing with the permission of the owners, which is how borrowing usually works. And it's not stealing in the sense that you want to keep it forever. And yet, the machloket of which one is it more like, suggesting that being more like a gazlan or a gazlanit is really saying that what you've done is you've undermined ownership here. It's not just that you've misused something, you've undermined ownership. Some hashlachot, essentially undermining ownership, meaning you've removed it from the jurisdiction of its owners. Number one, if it becomes less valuable, you still have to pay the more valuable price if something happens to it, because it became less valuable in the hands of the gazlan, not in the hands of the balim. Number two, returning it, returning it to the owners is part of the requirement in order to get it out of your reshut and back into the owner's reshut. We asked ourselves, in terms of what makes this an undermining of jurisdiction, is this an undermining of jurisdiction because you're using it in a way where either it could get damaged or it does get damaged, and that's not something that the person would want? Or even if you're using something in a way that it can't get damaged or it won't get damaged, like putting on somebody's tefillin, that is still undermining their ownership because people get to decide, Can we make a reasonable suggestion that people would want you to use their stuff for mitzvot? Or maybe even in the case where they might want you to use their stuff for mitzvot, there may be a way that you might treat it like taking it out of where it was, physically removing it geographically from where it was, that may be a bridge too far and not something that they would want. Suffice it to say, be careful with other people's stuff. They own it and they get to decide how it's used. And at the same time, be most generous when it comes to sharing with people so that they can do mitzvot. How's that for a takeaway? Looking forward to next week. Thanks for joining me. And maybe next week you'll be listening to me as you clean for Pesach or cook for Pesach or travel for Pesach.